All right, welcome back everybody to the deep dive. Today we're diving deep, pun intended. But this one's really for all of you listening in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, Texas.
Absolutely.
We're going to explore how things got to be the way they are in our communities. And guess what? It's not set in stone. Once
Right?
we understand how our local landscape and systems came to be, it can give us, the power to create positive change
Exactly.
right here at home.
Yeah. For this deep dive, you sent over a really interesting piece from the Messy City podcast.
Yes.
It featured Kevin Klinkenberg. And he's talking about some time-tested approaches to city building. And he kind of challenges this idea that what we see around us is the way it has to be.
And that's the big aha. We're gonna dig into how some things we might think are like permanent parts of our towns, even the way things work, are really just the results of choices made in the past. So if that's true,
By people.
that means we all of us in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, we can actually rethink things, reshape things, starting today.
If you want to make a change, you got to know that things can change. They haven't always been this way.
And they
That's what he's saying.
that's the first step. So let's start with that, what Klinkenberg calls the it is what it is mentality.
It is what it is. I mean, his main point is that the way our communities look, function, it's not some preordained thing. It's like it's the direct result of decisions made over time, decisions that people made.
And how does that relate to us here? Like, why should someone in Pasadena care about that?
Because if you've ever thought, man, I wish this thing in my neighborhood was different, that's the first step, realizing it doesn't have to be this way.
It could change.
Things haven't always been this way. And that's how we can start making a change.
And he uses this great example of freeways. We see them all over, especially around here, the Houston Ship Channel. It's easy to think, oh, they've always been here. But it's a fairly recent thing, really. This huge freeway construction boom really took off in the 50s and 60s, even though people were thinking about freeways like 100 years
A
ago.
100 years ago. But think about what that decision really meant. He talks about a study, I think it was in Kansas City, about how to improve the freeway loop around downtown. And the state DOT, they hired this big engineering firm, like the kind that's known for building those huge freeways, right? And it sounds like they went through the motions of getting community input, but it wasn't real. You know what I mean?
Like token engagement,
Token engagement,
not really listening to the people.
And they were so focused on making the traffic flow better. They even wanted to reduce the number of exits into downtown. So they weren't even thinking about why you'd even want to go downtown. They were just thinking about how to keep cars moving on the freeway.
Like the freeway's here. How do we optimize for it?
And it was only then somebody finally asked, "Wait, why do we even need this freeway loop at all?"
It seems obvious now,
Well, as somebody else said, the really radical thing was building all those freeways in the first place.
That's a good point. When you look at the big picture, building those urban freeways, it was huge, right? Like neighborhoods were displaced, businesses and homes demolished, and the feds were pouring money into it. It wasn't like, something that just had to happen.
Was a choice.
A choice
I kicked
with
over.
big consequences. And he points out, some cities have actually removed parts of their freeways to improve things for people.
Quality of life, the environment, even reconnecting communities that were divided. So let's bring this back home. Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, we have all this big infrastructure, highways, roads, around the plants and refineries, feels like it's always been here, permanent. But was it always this way? What decisions led to them being built like this? Were there other ways they could have been done?
And that leads us to public transportation, right? Like, think about the way we do it now, mostly publicly funded. Now, rewind about 100 years.
100 years ago,
Most public transportation in America was private.
Really?
Privately owned and for profit.
That's a big difference.
Huge difference.
Now public transit often needs help to even run subsidies and things.
So what happened?
What changed?
The big change was how we decided to spend public money. The states, the cities, They poured money into building roads, roads specifically designed for cars.
To get people to drive more.
Yeah, to make it easier and more appealing to drive your own car.
So that hurt those private transit systems, right?
Exactly.
They couldn't compete with all those new roads, roads that were paid for by everyone.
And that leads us to where we are now.
Right, to where we are now, with cities struggling to fund and improve public transit. And that's not just some random thing that happened.
Right.
It's a direct result of those choices to prioritize roads.
Choices. Choices made a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you think about our area. La Porte, for example, their history is tied to the port.
Right, La Porte.
Must have seen some big changes in transportation over the years.
Definitely.
And then there's zoning.
Oh, zoning.
That plays a big role in how our communities are built.
It does. And that's another relatively recent thing. Comprehensive zoning in the U.S., about 100 years old.
Really? So not that old in the grand scheme of things.
Nope. Became widespread after World War II. And it wasn't always as complicated as it is now. Early zoning, much simpler.
I mean, now it feels like there's a rule for everything.
Oh, yeah.
You can't build this here. You can't build that there. It's really hard.
Right. But what's interesting is if you look at the time before all this zoning, like between 1880 and 1920.
Okay.
That was a time of huge immigration, right?
Yeah.
A lot of new people coming to America. And they needed housing. Fast.
Right.
And we didn't have all these zoning rules then.
So how did they build all those houses?
Well, they built a lot of different types of houses.
Yeah.
You know, single family homes, duplexes, townhouses, all mixed together. We call it missing middle housing now.
Interesting. And you're saying a lot of the neighborhoods we love today were built back then.
Yeah.
Without zoning.
Without all the rules and regulations we have now. And they're beautiful, well built, and people love living there.
Huh. Makes you think that maybe strict zoning isn't the only way to build good communities.
Right. And then there's the role of planning commissions.
Planning commissions. Right.
They started as advisory boards, right? Like experts who would give advice to elected officials about city building.
Uh-huh.
But now, a lot of them are micromanaging every little detail of development projects. It can be really difficult to get anything done.
Right. And Klinkenberg, he mentioned something really interesting. This idea of rethinking zoning altogether.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe even eliminating it. And that's coming from people all over the political spectrum.
Exactly. Across the board. Because of all the problems we're having with housing.
Like affordability.
Yeah.
You know, building enough housing for everyone.
Right. It's a big challenge.
And it makes you think about Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena. Like, how are our zoning rules affecting the housing that gets built here?
Right. Are they making it harder to build the kind of housing we need? Affordable housing. That's something to think about.
Definitely. And then there's another shift that's happened. The way kids get to school.
Oh, yeah. Walking to school.
Or biking.
Right. Or biking. It's not as common as it used to be.
It's true. I remember walking to school with my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it feels like everybody drives their kids, even if they live close by.
Well, it's tied to school consolidation. Starting in the 1920s, really picking up after World War II, this push for, like, modern schools, efficient schools, which meant building bigger schools further away from neighborhoods. And it made sense, you know, to have more resources in one place.
Right.
But there were consequences they didn't think about.
Yeah, fit.
Well, for one, kids aren't getting as much exercise.
Definitely.
That's a health problem right there. And the school used to be the heart of the neighborhood, you know.
Right.
A place where people would gather, connect. Hmm. When you consolidate, you lose that.
It's not just about the building. It's about the community.
Exactly. And the way it is now, it's not like it's some ancient tradition. It's the result of choices we made, choices we can change. It makes you wonder, how have those changes affected our communities?
Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, how have those changes affected us?
Yeah. Has it brought us together or pushed us apart?
Right. It's something to think about. And this idea that things can change, it applies to our local governments too, right?
Absolutely. The way most cities operate now, with professional staff running things day to day, that's about 100 years old too. Yeah. It was a reform movement, a reaction to what they called the spoils system, where government jobs were handed out as favors, you know, political patronage.
Right. So they wanted to make things more professional.
Exactly.
Really more efficient.
Get the experts in there. And it did bring some good things, but it also created some problems.
Like what?
Well, sometimes it can be really hard to get things done. There are so many layers, so much bureaucracy. And it can be hard to see what's actually happening, you know, a lack of transparency.
Right. Like, who do you even talk to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for regular people, it can feel impossible to make a difference.
And it's interesting, the way our public schools are set up, it's actually based on this model from Prussia.
Oh, yeah. The Prussian model.
From the 1800s.
Yeah. They were all about standardization, discipline. They wanted to create loyal citizens, you know?
Wow. So that's where our school system comes from.
To a large extent, yeah.
It's kind of wild to think about. And it makes you question, is it still working for us?
Right. Are we getting the results we want? Or is it time to rethink how we do things? You know, think about the different ways school districts are organized. Some places have one big countywide district. Others have lots of smaller districts.
Like here, we have a few different school districts.
Right. Deer Park ISD, LaPorte ISD, Pasadena ISD. Are those the best ways to serve our students?
Is that working for us?
Those are questions we need to ask.
So what it all comes down to is we don't have to just accept things the way they are.
Absolutely not. Klinkenberg is really passionate about this. He says, we have to be willing to think big.
Be open to change.
Yeah. Even radical change. If things aren't working, we got to be willing to shake things up.
But how do we know if things are working?
We have to care about the results.
The results, okay.
We have to have high expectations for our communities, for our public institutions. We deserve safe streets, clean neighborhoods, efficient government.
But it's easy to just kind of accept things, you know, like, oh, well, that's just how government works. It's always slow and inefficient.
Right. But we shouldn't accept that.
We shouldn't.
We should demand better.
Yeah.
Because the way our communities are built, the way they're funded, the way they're run, it's not some law of nature.
Right.
It's all choices that people made. And we can make different choices.
Yeah.
He gives this example that really stuck with me about Main Street in Kansas City. It used to be this really nice street.
Okay.
But then they decided to widen it. Make it faster for cars.
For cars?
Yeah. They wanted to speed up traffic.
But what about the people?
Exactly. They weren't thinking about the people. They were just thinking about moving cars as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And it ruined the street. It made it less walkable, less enjoyable to be on.
Yeah.
We've probably seen similar things happen right here in our area.
Right. Like, I can think of a few intersections and roads that have been widened over the years.
Yeah.
You know, to move cars through faster. But they ended up making those areas less walkable, less nice to look at.
And the point is, those decisions weren't based on some eternal truth about what makes a good place for people. They were just choices. Choices that prioritized cars over people. And we can choose differently. We have that power.
We have the power.
We have the power to look at things and say, this isn't working. We need to change it.
So, to bring it back to us, to think and act locally,
right
here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, this is about realizing that we have that power, right? We can change things.
Absolutely.
The things in our communities that feel prominent, that feel like they've always been this way, they're really just the result of past choices.
Choices made by people.
And that means we can make different choices.
Yeah.
We can change things for the better.
And by understanding the history, by understanding the choices that led us here, you, our listeners, you can start to see where change is needed. You can become active participants in creating a better future for your communities.
For Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Exactly.
So here's something to think about. What's one thing in your community that you've always thought of as like just the way it is, but maybe now after listening to this, you see it a little differently. Maybe you can imagine a different future for it, a better future.
That's what it's all about.
If you've enjoyed this deep dive, please support us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. You can find the link in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for being here.
See you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.